And, there are certain things I would say that inspire me at different times, like all of you, when you have these moments with God, in the morning or in the evening, or maybe in the morning and in the evening or throughout the day. Certain things hit your heart, and it could come in a variety of different forms and fashions. There's no set formula because of the administration that we live in, where everything's by grace. And there is just no formula, there's no equation to how things are going to actually work. I mean, we have principles, and we have plenty of ideas and thoughts about right instruction, and we have a lot of right doctrine for sure. And I think most of us hear a lot of doctrinal teachings and that sort of thing. I think for me, more of my forte has been in the practical realm of trying to make the Word of God living and real, so it kind of comes up off of the pages of the Bible and into practice. For any of you, those of you who have had a chance to read any of the articles in the Chosen Gem series, it wasn't that I really even tried to make those practical. It's just that's what ended up happening as a result. And that's kind of a compilation of a lot of journal writings that happened over, gosh, probably 3 or 4 years. And just things that were in my heart, things that happened, things that were going on during that time. I really put it out there in a way that made me kind of vulnerable, that you'll see I was experiencing fears or doubts or maybe certain types of worries or anxieties, or I was totally pumped up and very, very excited about a number of things. And that's just kind of the way it is in walking with God, that there's no, sometimes it's just not a clear cut path. And sometimes I read things and hear things that cause me to maybe think a little deeper, get some more, I guess I would call them mind pictures of things that communicate the Word of God better to me and better to others if I can pass it along. And the verse I've really been thinking about is in James chapter 1, verse 19. And what it says is that we should be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. There's a lot of meaty, deep truth in those three phrases: swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Proverbs and the Bible is really full of a lot of different encouragements, exhortations, to really be mindful of what exactly it is that we're saying at any given time, because emotions get raised up, and sometimes we don't think before we speak, and we're human beings, it does happen. I think over time we do our best to get better at it, and as we put the Word of God on in our minds, the things that flow out of our lips are much more in alignment with what the Scriptures say. But I have this little book here that I read on occasion. It's called God's Little Instruction Book, and maybe you guys have seen this. There are a series of quotations, and then they're aligned with scripture verses. And the one that I was reading through early this one of these mornings this week was about James 1:19, that one about swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And the quotation that went with it was, "Ignorance is always swift to speak." And I alluded to this last week when I made this statement. If we don't know something, it's better off just to admit we don't know than trying to pretend we do know and then trying to talk about it, when you'd just be better off not speaking up. And what it reminded me of, this verse, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, is, you know, it's kind of funny. It was a traffic signal. And Wally and I were talking about this briefly today. But all of you, you know, you drive, most of you, and you come up to a traffic signal, and you have a red light, which means stop. You have yellow light, which means caution, you know, or be prepared to stop. And then you have green, right? It means go. Well, here in Oklahoma, and I don't know about your home state, there's a very unique thing that happens. I've never seen it in any other state or any other driving environment that I've been in. But in this state, at traffic signals, and this is generally pretty true wherever we've been in the state, is they not only have a red and a caution, they have the go, of course, the green. But what happens in between the caution and the go is they have a flashing yellow light. And this is especially true when there's a left-hand turn to be made where you would be going against the opposing traffic. They're on a green signal, but you are in the left turn lane and have a flashing yellow in front of you, which means what? Proceed with caution. Proceed with caution. So you not only have the red stop, you have the caution, the yellow, and then you have this flashing yellow, and then ultimately that turns to green, which is the go signal. And, you know, I really believe God was just showing me something really interesting about the traffic signal, is that is kind of how we walk with God. I mean, sometimes it's just a very definite stop. And then at other times it's like caution, kind of like the yellow lights coming on, the yellow flags being waved, and it's like, hey, you know, probably need to wait here and exercise some caution. And then you have the flashing yellow. And I think that flashing yellow is kind of like we're in between. Not we're not double-minded, but we're kind of in between. And it's like the advice at that point is you can move ahead, but do so with your eyes wide open. Kind of reminds me of that section in Ephesians where it talks about walking circumspectly, like having your eyes open, having a perspective of those things that are around you. And yeah, move forward, but don't rush into situations. And then finally, you know, the green, which means full speed ahead. Well, not full speed ahead, but you know what I mean, that you can go. There, it's clear. You still have to keep your eyes open. You know, on every one of these, red, caution, flashing yellow, green, you still have to have an awareness. You have to have a perspective. And so as I was moving along, this led me to look a little further into James chapter 1, verse 19. And as part of my sort of study routine, I love to look at other versions, other translations. And the Message translation, which I'm not going to lend any credibility one way or the other. It's just a comparative version that I think, you know, is good to look at when you're trying to get a little further insight and understanding. But this is what it said about James 1:19. Remember, we're talking about swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And this is what it says. Post this at all intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger struggle along in the rear. God's righteousness doesn't grow from human anger. So throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener God landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. And I just thought that was so beautiful. And it just kind of went full circle, you know, with the traffic signal. And then this verse talking about post this at all intersections. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger struggle along in the rear. And, you know, some of these quotations, some of these things that we read, these inspired statements that are made by other people, they don't flow at cross purposes with the Bible. They substantiate a lot of the great truth that the Word of God is already said. It's just kind of saying it in a different way. And there's another one here, and it kind of came as a result of Luke 6:45, where it talked about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You're familiar with that. It's like whatever you have in your heart, eventually you're going to start talking about, right? But this is what it says. Language is the expression of thought. Every time you speak, your mind is on parade. Language is the expression of thought, and every time you speak, your mind is on parade. And I thought, that is so inspired. That is just practical wisdom. Practical wisdom of the word that was sort of formulated and re-spoken by someone else, and that was way back in the 1700s. And fascinating. Here's another one. And this was inspired as a result of Proverbs 16:32, where it says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." And this is the quotation that was inspired as a result of that verse in Proverbs. Patience is the ability to keep your motor idling when you feel like stripping your gears. He that's slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Really, really something, huh? Yeah, these are so practical and so wonderful. And Wally and I were speaking today, and he mentioned something to me today, and so I thought I would, and I asked him to, share that little blurb that he talked about. So, Wally, I'm going to take off mute, sir.
Oh, thank you, Barney. And, you know, I wanted to share this with you, and it's the greatest gift. It's a quote. The greatest gift that I could give my children, it's not money, it's not comfort or success, but it's a clear example of what it means to love God and follow Jesus Christ, his son. You know, Bonnie just talked about a book of quotes that he has. I have a wall with 3x5 cards that are attached to it. It's a lot of thoughts, sayings, and scriptures. It's pretty much my thoughts. And I have a few of them up there on our children and, you know, on our adult children. And like with God, you know, we're all in his eyes. We're his children, and we make our choices. We make our choices, and our children, they make their choices. You know, they go off, maybe might go off in one direction or another. But like all of us, we've all done that. We may turn to the left or right. But Proverbs gives us a promise, and it tells us that if we train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, at some point, parenting requires surrender, maybe trusting God with the outcomes that we no longer can control, and believing that God continues to work even when we step back. You know, I got another quote hanging on my wall that I remind myself of all the time, and it says, fill your children with good thoughts, even your adult children, before they go to bed or during a phone call. Ask them about their favorite part of the day, praise them, and encourage them for their good works, the good deeds they've done, and pray with them. Let them know that they are a wonderful gift from God and that they are loved. And I'll bet you they'll fall asleep. They'll be feeling 10 feet tall. But it's like I said just a minute ago, and this is another great quote, and it's, at some point, parenting requires surrender. And it's so true. Trusting God with outcomes that we can no longer control and believing that he continues to work even when we step back. So that's what I wanted to share with you tonight, Barney.
Thank you, Wally. Yeah, so true. Just inspired statements. I'm sure you guys have things that you've seen. You write down at times things that you think of. I've got a whole stack of Well, it's kind of a combination of pieces of paper and 3x5 cards and 4x6 cards that I just have in a big stack. Seems like the stack is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Because if I hear things or see things, I cut them out, I put them together, I write them down on a card, and then, you know, every so often, I'm not saying every day, but sometimes daily for a period of time. And it's also a good way to remind yourself or refresh your memory about what the Word of God really says in regards to practical matters. And speaking of Proverbs, like Wally mentioned in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, it says, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." Slow to speak, slow to wrath, quick to listen. He that refrains his lips is wise. And this was the quotation that came as a result of from the inspiration of that verse. If silence is golden, not many people can be arrested for hoarding. I thought that was just so inspired. And so it, you know, encourages us to watch our words, watch what we're saying. And it says in even Proverbs 17:28, even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. That's from the NIV. Really something, huh? Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. God's word is full of these types of practical, wise solutions. And it's amazing how many of them really have to do with our words. The quote that came as a result of that verse says, "Knowledge speaks softly, but ignorance shouts the loudest." You know, if we speak up about certain things that we aren't really fully knowledgeable of, then, you know what, it can really make us foolish, feel foolish, and act foolish and be foolish. We want to be wise in the things that we say and, you know, just do our best to be great representatives and of the Word of God and, you know, of God. So maybe you see yourself speaking like Jesus Christ spoke. And although he might have been tempted to say certain things at certain times, I think he just had the wherewithal to hold his tongue. You know what I mean? And kind of wrapping this up, I've got a couple more things I just want to say about it. There's another verse in Proverbs 15:2 where it says, "The mouth of fools pours out foolishness. Blessed is he who, having nothing to say, refrains from giving worldly evidence of the fact." The mouth of fools pours out foolishness. In other words, you're blessed if you got nothing to say, you don't say it. You know, smart people, I said this last week, smart people speak from experience. Smarter people from experience don't speak. And there's that verse again. He who restrains his lips is wise. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you never say anything about anything. It's just that, you know, we don't have to dominate every conversation that we're in. We have to learn to really speak and choose our words wisely as we go about our daily business. And we've been around people, and maybe it's been us, who have, you know, kind of played the role of having to know everything about everything, and then you let everybody know about it. But I think as we grow and mature, and maybe in this season of life where we're at, we don't have to be, you know, so quick to speak up about every little thing. But just to exercise, you know, some great wisdom. And finally, in closing, I wanted to share this verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 3. Ecclesiastes 10:3, it says, "Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he says to everyone that he is a fool. A really sweet little quote that came out of that. It is better to be silent and be considered a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. These are practical truths, guys, that, you know, those aren't quotes from the Bible. But the Bible inspired these things. We're in a situation where we have to walk day by day. And it has to just get outside of the black and white pages of the Bible. What does life look like for a son or a daughter of God who's actually living and breathing and walking on this planet? And so that's why I think we endeavor to not only teach great doctrine, but also great practice of the word so that we can not only know we're victorious, but actually live in the victory that we've been given through the work of Jesus Christ. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this awesome word of God. And Father, how you inspire us and help us and teach us to grow and change and transform. And that these are the days of our lives, Father. This is the only time we have right here in front of us. So thank you for helping us to live it out to the best of our ability, but most especially that you're working within us to help us and to show us the way, and that we are quick to hear, Father, slow to speak, slow to wrath. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.